Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 22nd, 2011, Carrboro Board of Aldermen public hearing. We have a couple of other items before we get to our first hearing, including a minor modification of existing conditional use permit for 300 East Main Street. Mr. Manager?
Okay. There is a minor modification of an existing conditional use permit for 300 East Main. Main Street Partners has submitted an application for a minor modification of the existing conditional use permit for 300 East Main Street to allow for minor changes to the existing site in advance of future development project. Town staff request the board review the information and consider approving a resolution permitting the changes to move forward. And there is no staff presentation. The applicant's here if the board has questions.
Are there...
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
I was just going to say it looks like a reasonable request, and I'd be happy to move the item.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. There's not some resolution of consistency or something along those lines?
Minor modifications.
Okay.
We don't have to do that.
So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, kind of passed unanimously. I should have mentioned, by the way, I apologize, that Joel Hall Brown had to be excused tonight. She has an unwell child at home, which has been happening to a lot of us recently. But anyway, we hope everybody at their house will be feeling better soon. The next item on our agenda is transfer of contingency funds. Mr. Manager?
This is to allocate additional funds for contingency to the centennial celebration, which will pay for centennial banners that would be displayed downtown. And you have in your packet the recommendation to transfer $2,393 from the board's contingency budget to take care of the purchase and installation and the removal of these banners.
Okay.
Move the item.
Second.
As Jackie pointed out, a week or two ago, this is the kind of thing that only happens once every 100 years or so. So,
want to do it right.
We want to do it right.
And take this opportunity to say, you know, our birthday is a week from Thursday. And
yes. And everyone here and the general public and anybody listening at home are all invited to join us for a celebration that's going to be 7:30 p.m. Thursday, March 3rd at the Century Center. Walk, ride a bus, or ride a bike if you can.
And it will include opening remarks by both our mayor and our congressman, and a presentation from the Carrboro High School History Club. Isn't that cool? On our founding, and there'll be music and cupcakes. And we're going to ring the bell 100 times, so if you go to sleep before 8, I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. So come on out, 7:30, a week from this Thursday at Century Center. All right. Have we voted yet? No. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Matter passes unanimously.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Since we've passed this and the funds are available, will we be able to get those up within the next 10 days, do you think?
Well, I was told when I asked the question that this was going to be up for May 1.
Okay.
That's all I know.
I mean, it would be cool if we could, but if we can't, yeah. We can't.
I don't believe they've even been ordered.
Yeah, I don't think we'll
that's
be able to
right.
get them
because
back.
I think
that's all right.
I think there's still
right,
a question about which one of those four options will be the actual banner.
Yeah, which I think probably that question has been put to rest.
Okay.
Where, no, that's fine. It would be nice, but that's okay.
I mean, if we can, we will, but I think it would be difficult.
That's okay.
There was a pretty clear emerging not quite consensus for number two.
Yes, so we're going to, yeah.
Should we just have a vote on that real quick?
Okay.
Is it our decision? I guess it can be if we want.
We're paying for it.
Okay. Move number two.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt number two. All those in favor signify saying aye.
I never said that.
All those opposed. All
That's the best vote we'll have.
Oh, man. All right.
All right.
Item B1, a public hearing for community input on town needs and budget. Mr. Manager.
Annually, the board adopts a budget, as you all know, effective for July 1, June 30th for the town. As part of the review, the board also schedules a public hearing to receive comments from residents in the community regarding town services, and these comments are considered in developing the fiscal year 2011-12 operating and capital budgets. And I do have a very brief presentation. You all know I normally don't do a presentation, but these are kind of unusual times. I know I've said that the last couple of years. I think these are more unusual than maybe even the last 2 years. So I just wanted to sort of set the tone before we hear from the public. Just a couple of quick things about the current environment. You know, we hear that there is an economic recovery taking place, and there are some signs that would indicate that, but there's still pretty high unemployment, not a lot of new jobs being created. Housing prices, at least nationwide, are still either stagnant and in some cases dropping. Everybody knows there's a state budget deficit. There may still be some disagreement about what that number is, but to me, when you start talking about it in the billions, it's a big number. I think Governor Perdue is estimating right now about a $2.4 billion budget, a gap that needs to be closed, and we all know that both at the state and federal level, there's a lot of conversation about budget cuts, some that could be pretty severe, and they certainly, one way or another, will trickle down to have an impact on the town of Carrboro and its residents. So we have to be
Steve,
mindful.
Could I interject a comment there?
Absolutely.
Thanks. We had saw the preliminary budget for the transit system this morning, and one thing that I took note of is that the whole budget's about $16 million. Of that 16, $11 million is paid by the partners, us, Chapel Hill, and the university. So that leaves $5 million just in the transit system that's vulnerable to these kind of cuts that Steve's talking about. So, you know, there's, and I mean, that's just one area. So there's a lot of vulnerability.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any kind of, do we have any news on the community development monies? I know they're under attack.
I believe that, you know, the president proposed some reductions in his budget, so I don't know what will happen from there.
Yeah, he proposed 7.5% reduction.
I suspect that.
But the rich people still have their tax cuts, right?
To be more.
Yeah. So that's good.
So
that's good.
The other that percent will trickle down.
I'm good. Yeah. Glad. Yeah.
We'll watch it.
Go ahead, Steve.
Sure. Well, I especially appreciate you pointing out the transit piece because, I mean, that's just one piece of our budgets, but it's a very big piece, and depending on what might happen, could leave a nice hole for us to work with. Mm. So I guess, you know, with things are all relative, but when we look at unemployment, you look statewide, nationwide, and in Orange County, the number's still not great, but when you look at the state and the United States, we look pretty good. I hope those numbers will continue to improve, but again, the state budget, I think, will have a lot to do with it, what happens or doesn't happen here in Orange County, and this may be the year when Orange County, I think, may be more vulnerable than it has been in the recent past with the potential cuts at the university level. So have to be mindful about that. So just a quick snapshot of a couple of our major revenue sources. First is sales tax, and this is through the 16th, so it's pretty up to date. You can see we're almost exactly where we were last year. I think we estimate we should be at least at what we budgeted for this year and hopefully a little bit over. At first glance, the sales tax numbers may be a little bit alarming. If you look last year at this time, we've collected almost $1.4 million. This year, we've collected almost $1.2 million. And when Arch and I met to talk about this last week, we both just about had heart failure because last month we were actually running ahead.
of last year. So Arch and his staff, to their credit, did a lot of research and contacted folks with the Department of Revenue. And it turns out that last year, sales tax refunds were spread out over a number of months during the year. And so our biggest hit actually came in May, which wouldn't have reflected had it happened that way this year. This year, a good many of the refunds were done in November. Our revenue lags 2 months behind on sales tax, and so this drop reflects those refunds. So we anticipate, based on information from the Department of Revenue, that we should pick up in the next few months. We actually should end the fiscal year being at budget, or hopefully again a little bit over. But you can tell from these two numbers that we're certainly not bringing in a lot more money than what we had estimated, or a lot more money than what we had actually received last year. So, you know, we've got a lot of other revenue sources, but they're all relatively small when compared to these two. So finally, just a little bit of an outlook for 2012 and some issues to be thinking about, some things that we know already. You may recall last year during the budget, I mentioned to you that the local government employee retirement system hadn't had an adjustment in the employer rate in probably 15 or 20 years, but because of the losses in the pension fund, though it's still very strong, in order to maintain the strength of the pension fund, there was going to need to be several increases over a period of time. This current fiscal year, we had an increase. Next year, we're projecting another increase, both for general employees and for the law enforcement portion of the local government employees retirement system. This is obviously very important to local government employees across the state, and I want to take just a second to let you know that there's a lot of conversation, some of you may be aware of, about potential changes in retirement requirements for the state system and the local system. Some of you will know that the state has not, over the last number of years, always contributed the full amount that was necessary to keep the system where it needed to be. On the local government employee retirement side, those payments have been made every year by the member local governments. So there are two different systems. Sometimes the General Assembly likes to lump those two plans together, but they're two very separate plans. They're governed by two different governing bodies. And if you all have an opportunity to hear conversations about retirement plans, I hope you'll put in a plug for maintaining the strength of the local government employees retirement system, and that we don't get lumped in with the state system. There's talk about changing retirement ages, changing number of service years, and all those sorts of things. And for public sector employees, this is a huge issue. Don't have to tell you that. Health insurance right now is an unknown. We hope to get some preliminary numbers next month. I really don't have a good feel, except I know it's going to go up. And for every 1% increase, that cost about $12,000. So hopefully we'll keep it somewhere under double digit, but I don't really know, and obviously it's based on our claims experience. The guiding goals that we've looked at from a staff standpoint to date is, you know, we want to do everything we can to maintain our current service levels and take care of our current infrastructure. We also want to take care of our employees. You all know we've made a commitment the last several years to protect employees' jobs and fringe benefits, and we've been fortunate not to have to furlough or lay off anybody. We've frozen some jobs, but that hasn't impacted any person who's working for the town. I certainly hope that we can maintain that commitment, and I hope that we can do even more than that. But a lot of it will depend on factors that are really beyond our control. We also are using as a guiding principle to do everything we can to minimize the impact on the current tax rate. And I think you all know my goal every year is to bring you a budget with no rate increase. Whether we can do that or not and do all the other things that I just listed, I don't know, but that's certainly what we'll try to do. And then finally, we need to monitor the federal situation too, but the state budget deliberations are the ones that have the most direct impact on what we can or can't do. And it's not just in terms of the state perhaps looking at trying to do something with our state-collected local revenues, such as sales tax and ABC tax and those kinds of things, but it's also the potential for a transfer of responsibilities. There's still the issue of perhaps transferring responsibility for state road maintenance to local governments. That would potentially have a huge impact for us. The Powell bill receipts that we get now covers roughly about 50% of what we actually spend on road maintenance, and I'm pretty sure if something like that were to be transferred to local governments, there wouldn't be enough funds transferred with it to maintain it. Otherwise, the state wouldn't even be looking at it if it weren't a way to save money. So we've got to be very careful about that. So I guess the message is, I think, you know, we are financially very sound right now. We want to stay that way. We're going to do everything we can to maintain our existing service level. It would be very difficult for the town to take on any significant new initiative without either letting something else go that we're now doing or having to look at the revenue side, and really the only thing we have any real control over is the property tax. So I'd be glad to answer questions, and the majority of our department heads are here in case you all or members of the public might have questions. And remember, we're just in the very early stages of budget preparation from the staff standpoint.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
All right. I have, at this point, one person signed up to speak at this hearing so far. Anita Badrock, if you would come on up.
Thank you, Mayor Chilton and members of the Board of Aldermen and Women. I'm here tonight on behalf of Robert Dowling from Community Home Trust, who's not able to be here this evening. However, he did ask me to provide you with a letter and a copy of our annual budget for your review. And I took the liberty of slipping a few pictures of some affordable homes that exist in Carrboro for you to look at to your seats as well. And you each have different pictures, so you might want to share them and look around. But I would like to tell you again how much we appreciate the support from the town of Carrboro for our operations. And we are asking you again to fund us for $34,000 in operating funds so that we can continue to do this work to maintain affordable housing in Carrboro. Last year, we had two new homes in Carrboro come into our inventory in the Claremont subdivision, and those are the pictures that you see in front of you. Those are duplex homes built by Zen Design Build in Claremont. And this year we expect to add 3 to 4 more new homes also in Claremont. In an interesting turn of events, it looks like our next homeowner in Claremont will be a Carrboro Town employee. A family of 4 who would like to own a home where he works, and as soon as we're sure he's going to be the next homeowner, we would love to have him come in and tell you his experience with the Home Trust. The big thing that we want to flag for you, though, is that coming up in the next fiscal year is the Ballantyne development. And that particular community will have 17 2- and 3-bedroom townhomes. And those homes will need subsidy to assist buyers with purchase. The homes that are developed in Carrboro are subsidized from the county's home funds. And our estimation of what we will need for subsidy is anywhere from $225,000 to $500,000 to subsidize those homes for buyers to purchase. Some of that subsidy we can get from state funding sources, from the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, and we first go to them to look for subsidy funds to bring into Carrboro. But we will need, when you folks meet with your home consortium to allocate funds, for you to be aware of that funding need for this community that's going to be developed in Carrboro. The latest word from the developer is that they anticipate having the first 6 or 8 townhomes available for purchase there in late 2011, so maybe before the end of this year. And we are really excited about those homes because those homes are really the kind of homes that families want to purchase. And so it's really important to us to have sufficient funding available in order to help buyers purchase those homes. The last thing that I'd like to just let you know is that we are going to ask for additional funds for the rest of that project in the fiscal 2012-2013 year, and we'll keep you posted on that. But once again, I just want to thank you. Robert, sorry you couldn't be here tonight, but I'm really glad to be here, and I'm happy to answer any questions about the Home Trust if you have any. Thank you. Yes?
Anita, are we hearing anything about state and federal funding? Any alligators that could be popping up?
Yes. The most recent information we got is that the Obama administration is, his budget actually recommends a 7.5% reduction in home funds and a 9.6% reduction in CDBG funding, which is not applicable to the town of Carrboro, but in the overall picture, if you look at the total amount of funds available for the county to subsidize affordable housing, that's going to have an impact. You know, I suspect that the actual amount, I mean, there are some people in Congress who have proposed as much as a two-thirds, a 60% budget reduction in home funding. So I think the actual number is going to fall down somewhere between those two.
Anything from the state at this point, or is it too early to...
No. Right now, the Home Trust is eligible for a $200,000 allocation of NC Housing Finance Agency funds per calendar year. And we have not gotten any information that that funding is going to be cut, although at this point we don't really know. You know, we're trying to monitor that pretty closely. And that's always a funding source that we work hard to bring into the community to help subsidize purchase. But it's only, we can only use it for new construction.
Thank you, and thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you, and thank you all very much, too, and I hope you'll share those photos because those are really beautiful homes, and those are really a result of the ordinance and the work that you all do to require affordable housing. So thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else here who has not signed up who wanted to speak at this hearing? Okay. Hearing none. I'm sure we'll get plenty of opportunities to discuss these issues further in the future, but did anybody have any other comments?
I was just wanting to ask a question. Steve, I don't know if you know the answer to it. Do you know if the proposed increases to the local government retirement system for employees, these percentages are achieving, covering the losses that might have happened by the state?
That's what it's designed to do over a multi-year period. And the good news is this increase for next year is less than what was anticipated last year because there's been a greater recovery in the fund than was anticipated. Bad news is it's still an increase.
Right. So it sounds like, these aren't comparable to the numbers in Wisconsin and other places.
The employee, two things. One is the employer share of contributions in North Carolina for local government employees is much lower than the national average. And the other thing, both the local government employees retirement system and the state retirement system is on much more solid ground than the average public pension fund across the country. The state's maybe not quite as good as the local, but both very good. And so when you hear all these terrible things about other parts of the country and pension funds being in trouble, the funds in North Carolina are not in trouble. Very solid.
Great.
And I think most of us would like to keep them that way.
And actually, the picture in Wisconsin is not as bad as it's painted.
Their
deficit is equal to the tax break that the governor just gave to major corporations, but they really aren't having the troubles that they're saying they are.
Good point.
And the public employee unions have agreed to what he's requested in terms of reduction in their pay. But anyway, all right, anything further right now?
I have an item not on the agenda.
Okay, we have at least two that are not on the agenda. One is I'm going to recognize first Randy for to follow up on the Unified Development Ordinance item.
Okay, well, Lydia helped me craft some language for
resolution regarding the UDO, and so basically I encapsulated, for the Unified Development Ordinance from Orange County, next Tuesday is a public hearing that the county is offering on it, and there were 4 points that at the retreat I was concerned about, so we kind of whittled it down to those 4 points. Do you want me to read them, or?
Why don't you summarize them?
Okay,
I'd be happy to do it for you.
The first concern is for the floating zone district. So that's a new way of looking at the districts, and the current proposal would have it unmapped. So what's of concern with that is that you know, it doesn't protect surrounding neighborhoods. It is unmapped, so it's not clear, you know, what that's going to include and what it's not going to include. The second is concern over University Lake Watershed Overlay District, and the third is Cane Creek and the Upper Eno. Although they are part of the joint planning area, they're not clearly protected.
So instead of prohibited, it should say protected.
I think
there's just you accidentally left out a little bit of that third bullet point, because it should say the conditional district should be prohibited.
Yes.
Not the watershed district.
Right. Well, it's right. And finally, you know, the concern about the change in language from groundwater absorption systems to wastewater treatment systems. So those are the four basic points that I had written about at the retreat, and Lydia and I just kind of whittled it down to just these.
I just wanted to comment on the floating zoning district and how it is important to assure that there is some kind of guidance for something like that. I know that this is a tool, too, to encourage a kind of developments that are needed that maybe neighborhoods' current character don't represent. And I'm speaking to opportunities, for example, for places like Johnny's to exist in neighborhoods, or small commercial development, so that things can be more walkable and bikeable. So I think that it'd be valuable to speak not just to the character, but also in balance with the character, speak to the opportunities that we may achieve by using this kind of zoning to encourage more mixed use. So I would
like to add language to the first bullet.
Yeah, maybe maybe just saying mixed use that is in line with the character refers to protecting the character of the surrounding neighborhoods. I don't know really how to best word this.
So for example, is language utilized for original plan development district that explicitly refers to protecting the character of surrounding neighborhoods?
And encouraging mixed use for those neighborhoods.
It almost seems like maybe it should be a separate provision that kind of says, considering these comments, we don't want them to reflect any, we want to still encourage the revisions to reflect this notion that we want to encourage the ability to have mixed use. I don't know, it just seems like it should be maybe a separate bullet of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise it won't be clear.
Sam, would you want to say neighborhood scale mixed use?
Yes, I think that would be valuable.
That's nicely put.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dan. So a separate point.
Neighborhood scale. Encouraging neighborhood scale mixed use.
What were you recommending, Lydia? How would we word that?
Well, I think the point we want to make is still recognizing the concerns that we've outlined here, don't let them impede mechanisms for promoting neighborhood mixed use. They're kind of two different points, but you know, that way one doesn't kind of overtake the other.
So recognizing the concerns of the previous point, not letting these impede encouraging neighborhood scale mixed usage.
I don't like that language.
I don't either.
No, I think the two points are support each other. I think neighborhood mixed use should be done in a way that protects the character of surrounding neighborhoods. So there's no contradiction.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with you, Dan. There might be a way to get out that by saying, you know, sort of parenthetically there, protecting the character of the surrounding neighborhoods, you know, parenthetically, should not rule out the possibility of neighborhood-oriented.
Or neighborhood scale.
Yeah, neighborhood scale, whatever you want to say, mixed use.
Right, or we could even say seeking opportunities for it and make it positive.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
I think that's something that we see as a social good.
Uh-huh. So protecting the character of the surrounding neighborhoods and seeking opportunities for
neighborhood scale mixed use.
Neighborhood scale mixed use.
Okay. And so that's, as I alluded to, that third bullet point really should read more like it should begin with the word for.
Right.
And
right.
Should say for the Cane Creek and upper, protected outside the joint planning area, the conditional district should be prohibited. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the last sentence should also have the word for instead of to.
Right.
Okay.
But the other word for.
And then I guess my question is whether we could be a little more clear about what the fourth bullet point is getting at, where it says
the language.
The difference. I get what you're getting. I mean, I see that there's a difference in the language between mm-hmm. ground absorption systems for sewage disposal and the phrase wastewater treatment facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be good to articulate. Well, what concern does that language change? Raise in your mind. What it raises in my mind is the implication that maybe packaged sewer systems or things like
right.
that, some technology that we've in the past rejected as a county,
exactly.
might be included. And so let's just go ahead and be specific about that.
Okay.
And say, you know, something.
So are you suggesting that we say we should retain the original, the language of the existing ordinance, rather than changing disposal methods.
My point is not so much to suggest that, but to say what it is we're concerned about, that we don't want this to bring back packaged sewer systems is basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just be explicit about what the point is.
Okay.
Could you say changes the disposal method to wastewater treatment facilities, comma, which might facilitate what you're saying?
Yeah, which seems to imply.
Okay.
I don't know that it really does from a legal perspective or whatever. You know, some of this they may be using sort of legal terms of art. So, but the concern is that it seems to imply that packaged sewer systems would be allowed in rural.
Yeah, I think that's important because really a septic tank is a wastewater
that's right.
treatment facility.
Right. That's not that aspect of that term is not a problem.
Right.
But packaged treatment plants, at least unless the technology has really changed a lot, I think are not a good thing to get.
Although climate has.
I'm sure. I'm not saying we should put that language
right.
in here. I'm just saying.
Well, they are.
What I know about them is that they're usually at mobile home parks in
mm-hmm.
rural areas of North Carolina. They're mostly very poorly managed,
mm-hmm.
and they cause all kinds of
mm-hmm.
contamination in our local creeks and rivers.
So let's back up. So which seems to imply the
Seems to imply the use of
imply just the use of package sewage system.
Sewage treatment plants.
Okay, all right.
And then near the end there, Randy, the very last sentence, instead of saying into these two areas of concern, just take out the word two.
Yeah, just
right.
These areas of concern.
Okay. Well, I can.
Kathy's going to have a good time reviewing that to tape.
The town clerk.
Yes.
Should have made this part of your interview.
Yeah, that's right.
Should have been an inbox exercise. Yeah.
But you have it on tape. No.
We wouldn't have wanted to scare her away, though, Jackie.
Okay, so the first bullet has the.
Are we not done? Sorry.
I think we are. I think she's just clarifying.
I'm
what
just
it
clarifying.
Is.
So the first bullet has the addition of language about, in parentheses, after protecting. Do you see where it says?
Protecting the character of surrounding neighborhoods.
Right.
Yeah, from neighborhoods.
In parentheses, not ruling out.
Or I think it was
no, seeking
opportunities.
Not seeking opportunities for neighborhood
scale. It
doesn't
need to be in parentheses.
Right, okay.
Yeah, not in parentheses.
All right. For seeking out opportunities for neighborhood scale mixed use.
All right.
Okay, and then the second correction that I have is changing the third bullet before the word the for, F-O-R.
Right. For the Cane Creek and Upper Eno protected and critical watershed districts, though outside the joint planning area, the conditional district should be prohibited.
And then two more. The fourth bullet has the addition of the new UDO text changes the disposal method to wastewater treatment facilities, which seems to imply the use of
package sewage treatment or sewage system.
Systems,
fine.
Okay. And the last one is taking out the word two.
In the resolved clause.
Right. The number two, T-W-O.
All right. That was moved by Dan and I think seconded by Randy.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, board.
Thanks,
thank you.
Randy.
Thank you.
And everybody else who, Lydia, I think, did some work on it, too. Thanks.
Lydia, absolutely.
All right.
Without whom, it would not be here tonight.
Dan, it is 8:06.
Yeah, I have nothing that should keep us here longer, so.
Excellent. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So, not a passing unanimously.